This morning we're handing out our cards on proclamations to overcome the devil. And we know fear comes from the devil, amen? And so Pastor Cheryl, ushers, if you'll come up, I think everyone needs a card. At the beginning of the month, we hand out a proclamation card, and we center most of our messages around that theme. And we're 1 week late because Apostle Leon was here last Sunday. But we're handing these out today. Proclamations to overcome the devil. In Joshua 1:9, while they're handing those out, it says, "Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid." Tell your neighbor, do not be afraid. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yeah, so we have nothing to fear because God is with us. And God is for us. He's on our side. Amen? And the other scripture is 2 Timothy 1:7. And that says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So we know that fear is a spirit, and it's not from God. Okay, so that tells me the enemy has spirits that try to influence you and come against you because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But you see, God gave us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind. Our minds are renewed. The scripture says in Ephesians, the spirit of our mind is renewed. And that is renewed by God's spirit. So let's go to prayer this morning as we get started on this teaching. I'm glad each one of you are here today to hear the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, we pray that you nourish us this morning, God, and increase our understanding and deliver us, oh God, from all of our fears of the enemy. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you should have a message outline. If you don't have one, raise your hand and someone will hand you, an usher will give you a message outline. And there are places to take notes. The complete set of PowerPoint notes is posted online. And also the message is uploaded every week. And so there are people all over the world that listen to our messages. And often they contact me via email and say, "I used your message this week," you know, and that they really enjoyed it. And so it's exciting for the message to go around the world and for people to be able to have access to that. So we thank God for that. And you can also, if you download the River of Life app on your phone, you can just get the message right there off your app. So if you need help with that, you can see Elder Carol Pikanka because she's really good with that stuff. Hallelujah. And I just volunteered her. Thank you, Elder Carol. Oh. So on the front of our card, I also put those proclamations in the PowerPoint. So we're going to say those proclamations together. You ready? Okay, here we go. I testify to Satan personally as to what the word says the blood does for me. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart to God. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Satan has no place in me, no power over me, through the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a praise. All right. And so this card is for you to make a proclamation. Okay, James, so mute this mic and go get my mic from the platform.
So these cards are for you to make the proclamations. And on the back are the scriptures that go with these proclamations. They are produced by Derek Prince Ministries. Derek Prince has passed on from this world, but his legacy and his Bible teachings live on. And so we, over this last year, every month, we've used one of his proclamation cards as a part of our study. We are going to, our message today is on enforcing Christ's victory. Did you know we're enforcers? We are enforcers in the earth realm of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And so the scripture says in Romans 8:31 and 32, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, if you read the verse prior to that, the verse prior to that says that Jesus Christ has predestined us and that he has called us and he has justified us and he has glorified us. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Because God has already done what we need him to do for us to enforce the victory that he gained upon the cross. And Jesus freely gives everything to us. General Dwight Eisenhower said, there are no victories at a discount price. Jesus gave his all. He paid the ultimate price so we could enforce the victory over all the powers of the enemy. Many Christians are yet to waken to the reality of the authority that they have in the earth realm based upon the finished work of the cross and God's word. Our words don't mean a whole lot unless they're in agreement with God's word. Amen? And even when someone speaks negatively to us, it's always good to resist those negative words. Amen? People will say negative things to you about you, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. And it's good to resist that. You might not say it out loud, but you'll say it out loud after you get out of the room. Or you might just say it out loud. I don't agree with that. Or you might do what Elder Sylvia does. You just brush them off, you know. You don't have to say anything. You can just brush them off of you. But we have to guard our minds. Because the enemy is looking for you to come into agreement with something he can use against you. All right, let's go on. And let's read Colossians 1, 12 through 14. And let's read this one together. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. The finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness, destruction, into God's kingdom, because the kingdom is the destination. Amen. To get into the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again by the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus prayed, "Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Our Heavenly Father, according to the scripture, has qualified us. We weren't qualified. There's nothing we can do in our own strength that's going to qualify us, except for faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that he rose again. It didn't end on the cross. He fulfilled the sacrificial requirements that God had set forth. He fulfilled that. None of us could have done that, but he did that for us, and therefore he qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. Tell your neighbor, we have an inheritance. Now ask him, are you partaking of your inheritance? We have an inheritance from the Lord. We get, when we're partakers, it means we get our share. You want your share, right? Amen. So you've got to partake of what God has for us. And that's the inheritance of the saints in the light. We have been delivered from, or rescued from, the powers of darkness. So you see, we were wandering in darkness, but God has delivered us and brought us in to the light. Into his kingdom. His kingdom is royalty. It's rule. It's a kingdom realm of reigning. Our God reigns over all the heavens and all the earth. He is sovereign over the universe. He keeps everything going according to his plan. He didn't create us and forget about us. And sometimes we feel like he's forgotten, but he has not forgotten about us. Because he has redeemed us with the greatest price. And that was the price of his blood. And when you're redeemed, it means you are rescued. It means he paid a ransom for you. He bought you back from the hands of the enemy. Everyone is born in darkness. Everyone is born in sin, and everybody needs Jesus to redeem them. Give the Lord a praise if he's redeemed you today. Thank you for your redeeming power, oh God. We're a thankful people because we know that you shed your blood, that you paid the price for the forgiveness of our sins, our faults, and our offenses. Let's go on and read. We have babies that help us preach, and that's fine. They can just help. Colossians 2:14-15. Let's read that one together. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You see, we cannot achieve righteousness by keeping laws. And so God terminated the laws of Moses as a means to achieve righteousness. We do not receive our righteousness from obeying Moses' law. They obeyed his law. They took the sacrifices to the temple, and they laid hands. The priests would lay hands on the sacrifices to transfer the sins of the people to the sacrifice. We no longer do that because Jesus Christ bore all of our sins on the cross. And so we are free from trying to work to obtain our righteousness. There are still religions that have all these rules and regulations to fulfill, to obtain righteousness. And God didn't intend for that. He said the traditions of men will make the word of God of no effect. Because you're so busy trying to keep the standards and keep all the rules and cross everything off and make sure you do that every day. Have you ever heard of religions like that? Maybe you were trapped in a religion like that. But you see, God's a God of relationship. And there's nothing righteous about any of us until we receive Jesus Christ and He puts His robe of righteousness on us. So you see, we all get the same robe of righteousness. And then we begin to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the word says. We work out what God has worked into us. Because everything God planned for you is already on the inside of you. It's in the blueprint. It's in your DNA because the Lord put it there when you were formed in your mother's womb. And so when God formed you in your mother's womb, He knew the number of days that you would live, and He knew the plan that He had for your life, and He put everything that needs to come forward in this time and this season to be fulfilled, that you will accomplish all that God has designed your life to accomplish. Because you have a purpose. Tell your neighbor, you have a purpose. We all have a purpose in life. It's very sad when people wander around and have no purpose. That's how they get mixed up in drugs and become addicts. And they get mixed up in the plans of the devil because he will make you think that he has something for you because he is a liar. And he will do everything he can to confuse you so that you will get involved in something that will take you down a slippery slope. And often people think, oh, it looks good. You know, it'll be okay. But before you know it, they're down the hill and they're struggling to get back up. So God has a plan for us. And He's given us everything that we need. And He disarmed the enemy. Francis Frangipane said this. He said, instead of praying for victory, we often settle for temporary relief. We pray that God will make the devil leave us alone when the Lord is telling us to pursue our enemies and scatter them like dust. We're not running from the devil. We're not running from fear. We're not dictated by our emotions and our feelings, but we are proclaiming what the Word of God says about us. What the blood of Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes us white as snow, but it does many more things, which we're going to look at this morning as we close our message. Let's talk about the nature of the warfare that we're in. Let's read this one together. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now we do not war according to the flesh, but we war according to the Spirit. And we war with the weapons that God has given to us. And as you read this scripture, It says that our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, when I think of pulling something down, I think of pulling something down off a shelf or pulling something down that I need. Or when I'm praying, I can imagine myself pulling something down. So I thought I would look up this word in the Greek to see what the translation of the Greek word is. And the translation is actually destruct and bring to extinction. So it's not just this mild pulling down. You know, we sing songs and we go like this. No, the word means that we are going to destruct those weapons that are formed against us. We're going to destruct those arguments and every high thing that is exalting itself above God. We are going to bring them to extinction. That's a big difference between just a pulling something down off the shelf. But it is totally eliminating it from us. If it's against the Word of God, why would we allow it in our minds? We have to judge those thoughts that come through because we all have lots of them, right? We all have all of these files opened in our mind, in our brain, and we'll hop from file to file. And they say many people will have anywhere from 30 to 50 files open at the same time. And you're going back and forth, bouncing around in your mind. And thoughts come through your mind that are not of God. But if we're not careful, we'll entertain that thought. So why would we leave it in our mind if it's not from God? And why do we listen to it or watch it on TV if it's not of God? And you know I get on this every once in a while. You say, I love you, Pastor Janet. But why do you watch sin on TV when you don't believe in it? Why are we supporting something that is contrary to the will of God? And people go, well, that don't affect me. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. You watch enough of it, and there's an inroad that is placed in your brain to accept it. It wears you out. The devil's plan is to weaken you and to wear you out. And you can see how the devil has been at work in our culture from the very beginning of bringing in confusion to wear us down. The confusion of it's okay for a man or a boy to go in the girls' locker room and the girls to go in the boys' locker room. You're within your own thoughts. You're like, this can't be right. But that's mild compared to what they say is okay now. It just keeps going, and it is all a part of the plan to break you down, bring confusion in your mind so that we do not have clarity on what is right and wrong, so the enemy can mind control you. And we've seen it happening, and we've seen our culture falling for it, and we as a church need to be in prayer for people not to be deceived and not to get hooked in to that confusion. Every chance I get, WNDU and the different television stations, you know, they'll send something out on Facebook and I'll see it. I always give an answer about the enemy's plan to confuse our culture so that we do not know what is right and wrong. And they call evil good. They call evil good. I could give plenty of examples. James, this is a little. I could give plenty of examples. However, you can think of them yourself. How what is evil in this day and age that our culture is saying is good? And then they call good, the good that people are doing, they call it evil. Jesus, help us. Help us to be conscious of what we're taking into our minds and what we are listening to, watching, and even paying money for at the theater. Often people will save their money to go to the theater, and they don't even put a dollar in the offering plate to support the kingdom of God and the work that goes on in the ministry. But they'll go out and buy a ticket at the movie for $10, and they'll take the whole family and go out to eat and then come and drop a $5 bill in the offering basket. Come on, God is watching that. God is watching that. I'm not judging you, and I'm not telling you what to do. But as the shepherd of the sheep, I am telling you that someday you'll stand before God and you will give an account, the scripture says, for every word and every deed that you did. And when I stand before God, I don't want your blood on my hands. Because I did not sound an alarm and a warning for what is coming into the culture and how Christians are accepting way too much of the world to the point that the world cannot tell the difference between the church and the world. Come on, church. This isn't in my notes this morning, but it is divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit because He loves us. He loves us and He wants us to align with the purpose that He has for our lives so that He can use us in a mighty way. So number one, the war is not in the physical realm, but it is in our minds. We have to guard our minds. Guard your heart with all diligence, the scripture says, because out of it will flow the issues of life. And by the way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So pay attention to what your heart is saying, because it comes right out of your mouth. Amen? Especially if you're frustrated or upset. You find out what's really in your heart, right? Hit your thumb with a hammer and see what comes out. Hallelujah. Number two, fortresses of our mind. Mainly, it's prejudice and witchcraft that goes on in our minds. We have high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. And those high things are usually our own opinions. We think so much more of ourselves than we even consider and think of God. Opinions and preferences. Personal preferences and mindsets. Have you ever been around someone that just has their mind made up on something? You know they're wrong, but you cannot convince them in any way that they are making a mistake. Those are mindsets. Those are the kind of strongholds that need to be demolished. I see you guys. You're hitting each other. She's talking about you. So our prayer is that God releases our minds from Satan and bringing them into the obedience to Christ. We can't do this work on our own. Remember, He gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. This is a spiritual work that takes place in us. It's a supernatural work that God does for us. And all we have to do is ask, read His word, and He will help us. Somebody say amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Teach them young. Ephesians 6:12. Let's read it together. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Satanic hosts in the heavenlies seek to gain control of nations, cities, and people. One translation of this verse says that we have a wrestling match with persons without bodies. And this wrestling match involves our spirit, soul, and body against evil spiritual forces. On our own, we are no match. No match for demonic powers. No match for demonic powers. You see, that's why I do not understand why people celebrate Halloween and all the evil and all the death and all the spookiness and all of that. What in the world is wrong with a Christian when they're okay with the powers of darkness? There is something wrong with that. And I'm not trying to lose any friends, but honestly, once you have an experience with the demonic realm, it'll change your mind. And you will not want anything to do with all of that. It has become almost a big holiday as Christmas is. And that is really sad for a Christian nation. All right. There's three main weapons we fight with, and that is the Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to talk about how to overcome the devil according to God's Word. Let's read Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. That is, they testified to what the word of God says about the blood of Jesus. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And to overcome means to conquer, to vanquish, to subdue, as to overcome enemies in a battle, to surmount, to get the better of, as to overcome difficulties or obstacles, overcome to gain the superiority to be victorious. And that's from the Webster Dictionary from 1828. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony, we overcome by testifying of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. You see, it's without the blood, we would have no testimony. Come on, without the blood, we have no relationship. We have no salvation. And over the years, many denominations have taken the term blood out of their songs, out of their teaching. And without the blood of Jesus, we have no salvation. The blood is important. Tell your neighbor, the blood is important. So number one, the power of personal testimony. Read with me. We overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the word of God says the blood of Jesus does for us. Number two, the blood of Jesus. We're going to talk about what it does for us. The scripture says we're redeemed through the blood. Ephesians 1:7, let's read it. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. My thoughts. Go back to. When I think about being in the hand of the enemy. My thoughts go back to. All his reminders. Of how I used to be. My thoughts go back to. Everything I did, I should not have done. All the mistakes I've made. All the problems I've had. All the trouble I've gotten into. You see, your thoughts will go back. They're reminders. But you see, when that happens to me, I have to begin to talk out loud. And I'll remind myself. I don't talk to the devil. He doesn't deserve to be talked to. Okay? We don't talk to him or tell him what we're going to do to him because Jesus Christ already destroyed him. He stripped him. Remember, we just read it. He stripped him of his power. Tell your neighbor he has no power over you. You see, Jesus redeemed us. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And these are some of the things I'll say. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. All my sins are forgiven and washed away. I thank God that I am not that person anymore. That is not who I am. I don't do those things anymore. Because of the blood of Jesus, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old person is dead, it passed away, and all things have become new in my life because the Lord delivered me out of the hand of the enemy. I'm not listening to this. Hallelujah. I refuse to think about this. This is what I'm saying when those thoughts start bombarding me. I refuse to think about that because I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I've been bought back with the blood and delivered from the evil works of the devil. God is my father, and I no longer belong to Satan. You have no hold on me. You have no unsettled claims against me. Everything concerning me has been settled at the cross because I am a blood-bought child of God. Give the Lord a praise. Don't let the enemy beat you up with tormenting thoughts, because that's his plan. Because he wants to steal your inheritance and steal your identity. God has given you an identity, and you're forgiven. He has no business bringing it up. And so you just remind him. Remember, we are enforcers of Christ's victory. Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross and his resurrection and his blood remind Satan that he is defeated and he is under our feet. The only power he has over you is what you will give to him. That's all he has. He's not the big bad devil that's going to get you. No, Jesus already got him. He already took all his weapons away. He disarmed him, remember? And when we are wise to that, the scripture says that we are to be, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. When we're wise to his devices, and he works against each one of us in different ways, and you begin to learn that, oh, he's back again. He's trying this again. And you know, eventually he'll give up, but he'll be back with something else to try and tempt you and to lead you off course. So we are to be wise so that we do not get devoured by the lion that is walking around this earth. You see how he's devouring people? You know, you look at people today, they look hopeless. So many of them look so hopeless and they look so messed up on drugs. This morning I was on my way to church and I was driving down Washington Street, turned right, and I have a straight through to 3rd Street. It's like 2 blocks. I have the right of way. I got up to 2nd Street and this car comes as soon as I pulled in the intersection. I was right there and he pulled, gunned it. I mean, floored it. And I yelled, Jesus. And I turned my car as sharp as I could. And he came around me this way. If there would have been any parked cars on 2nd Street, they would have been wiped out. And he went that way and he sped off in front of me. And it was so demonic. This young man I know had to be high on drugs and being used of the devil. He was all in a black hoodie and he was driving insane. And so I got up close enough to him that I saw the first three letters of his license plate, and it was from Michigan, and the make and the model of the car. And I turned down Sycamore Street and went down and sat by the stop sign there just to get my breath. And here he come flying around again, going as fast as he could down 3rd Street. So I called the police and I made a report. I said, you might want to send some of your squad cars out. Then when he got up to Jefferson Place, he took off flying down Jefferson Place. And so the enemy's out to get us. But I thank God. I said, Lord, thank you for the angels of the Lord that redirected that car. And just, you know, you have to think in a split second. But today I might not be standing here this morning if it had not been for the Lord rescuing me with the angels of the Lord. You see, the devil didn't want you to hear this message this morning. Hallelujah. You can't stop God. Can't stop God. The blood of Jesus cleanses as we walk in the light. Let's read 1 John 1 through 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, the scripture says that the word is a lamp unto my feet. The word is a light unto my path. If we're going to walk in the light, we need to walk in the word. Let's read what's in italics there. While I'm walking in the light, the blood of Jesus is cleansing me now and continually from all sin. So the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us as we read the word. You've probably read the passage, or maybe you've never heard of this, but the scripture actually says that the word washes us. It washes us as we read it. And so when it washes us, it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm almost done. I see some of you yawning. See? We're justified by his blood. Romans 5:9, let's read it. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's read what's in italics. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, acquitted, not guilty, reckoned righteous, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus does for us. We're sanctified by the blood. D. Let's read Hebrews 13, verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Separated from sin and Satan's kingdom, we are partakers of God's holiness. Let's read italics. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart from sin and from Satan's kingdom, and made partaker of God's holiness. So we are separated and set apart from Satan's kingdom. And so a question to ask yourself, does the activity I want to participate in show others that I am a part of God's kingdom? Or does this activity show them I'm a part of Satan's kingdom? There's just two kingdoms. We have a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Does this activity demonstrate that I am a partaker of God's holiness? You decide and you seek God. Like I said, we give an account to him. At River of Life, we don't have a list of rules and regulations. Other than what is in the scripture is what we teach. But we don't try to control people. We cannot make you obedient. You are adults and we cannot make you do anything. I know that. If you have adult children, you know that. Our just children altogether. It's like, Jesus, help him. We pray a lot, don't we, Mom and Dad? Pray a lot for our children. But you might want to write down this verse in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. It says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Once we were not recognized, but now we are. Under the new covenant. And when Jesus came to the world, he began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. We're all Gentiles. It doesn't matter what your ethnic group is or where you came from, what your economic status is. We are either in this group called Jews or Gentiles. And we've come in. We are recognized people now. We're the people of God. We're chosen. You see, God chose you. You're sitting here today because God chose you. You're not sitting here by accident. No one is here by accident today. But you are here because God chose you to be here on this Sunday morning. Because God is speaking to you. And God wants you to know that he loves you. And God is for you. And he'll work with you if you'll work with him. You know, he's not going to wave a wand over you and just make it happen. Come on. People will try counseling. They'll come into my office a few times and they'll try. But then they don't come back because they were hoping I would just wave a magic wand over them and make everything okay. That isn't how it happens. We are each seeking God, working out our own salvation. But I know this as a fact, that if you take one step towards God, he takes a step, two steps towards you. You know, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He is always there. Even when we are at our worst, he is there. He didn't give up on us. He didn't give up on us. But he's always been there. But when we begin to get the revelation and the understanding of who we are in God and how much he loves us and that he cares for us and has a purpose for our life, we begin to just melt before the Lord. We become tender before the Lord and he can work on us then. The last, to capsulize what we just talked about, we're redeemed, we're cleansed, we're justified, and we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus. That's a great inheritance, saints. That's a great inheritance. And Jesus did it all for you and I. So Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection brought total, eternal, irrevocable defeat of Satan and his kingdom. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah! I'm going to ask if the praise team will get ready. They're going to sing a song. And as they're coming, Holy Spirit said a lot of things today, and I just want to remind you, in Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a great exchange that's been taking place because of what Jesus has done for each one of you. So my question today is, have you been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? I can hear you out here, James. Have you been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? That's a question I'm asking you today. If you haven't, today's your day. This could be the last time that you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like that near accident this morning. I may have already had preached my last message and not even known it. You see, we never know when the Lord is going to take us. But we want to be ready. And the only way to be ready is to get right with God. To receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask our elders if they'll come up. And we're going to get ready to pray for you. And I believe from this message today, great salvation is coming into your life. Salvation continues to work in us. You know that? It's not that one time we're translated into the kingdom of light, but then God keeps working on our souls, keeps delivering us and making us whole. But we are up here this morning to pray with you. If you're struggling with a spirit of fear, God didn't give it to you. So that means when we lay hands on you, we have authority to release that spirit from you if you want it to go. Because it's not from God. We don't want anything in us, working in us, that is not from our Heavenly Father. Can you say amen to that? So let's just put our hand on our heart. Father, we just thank you that you're working in our hearts today. And Lord, you know what we have need of. And Lord, I break the power of any condemnation by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We pray for freedom for everyone in this place today. Let them be free in you and from any spirit of the enemy. Father, we take authority over those spirits. In Jesus' name, and we command them to loose the people of God. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to lay hands on people today and to trust you, Lord, to fill them with what they need filled with. And so, Lord, work in hearts and minds, and thank you for bringing us together today.